Good morning, CHD. Welcome to Pediatric Perspectives, where we are looking at children's health challenges from a different perspective, one that includes critical thinking. Oh, yes, we need to be thinking critically about these topics, and we're not afraid to give you the honest truth. I'm your host, Dr. Paul, and today my guest is Michael Guetta. And welcome, Michael. It's so great to have you on the show.
Paul, good to see you again. Glad to be with you.
You have a long history in medicine and education, a dietitian, nutritionalist, herbalist, acupuncturist, and 34 years of family practice experience in Chinese and functional medicine. I think if I wanted to get a really important opinion on anything medical, you'd probably be my first stop.
Paul, I feel the same way. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So this episode today, we're going to tackle something that is worrying a lot of people, but probably should not. And I'm very interested in your perspective. So this is, we're going to cover the next pandemic. Is it going to be bird flu? What's it going to be? The Defender article, those of you who aren't familiar, Children's Health Defense has an online journal called The Defender. And it's a real resource. I mean, if I want to find out anything that's current about illnesses, pandemics, vaccines, you can use their search function and it's incredible. But their article, A Dangerous Vaccine for a Nothing Disease, U.S. Stockpiling Bird Flu Vaccines, that's sort of a jumping off place. But let me have you first, Michael, just give us a brief, so people who may not know you, you know, what brought you into patient care and education?
Yeah, I was a musician. My first career, Paul, I played the piano and felt a yearning to help people in a more direct way other than entertainment and being a church organist. So I went to school for massage therapy after getting my first massage treatment and learned a little bit about Chinese medicine and really felt a resonance with that, something that had a spiritual perspective behind it. And just kept expanding my training, knowledge, experience, and really loved helping people in this way, using Chinese and functional medicine. And now, you know, at this point in my career, I'm mostly teaching. I still practice and see patients one day a week. But now we have a school and I travel around the country teaching seminars and we have an online school and want to pass on what I've learned over the years.
And I think I read on your website, you have taught 20,000 practitioners.
Yeah, I kind of stopped counting at 20,000. So it's somewhere north of that. Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. What a resource you have been for the world. Before we jump into the topic at hand of this next possible pandemic, you seem to have a foundational principle of nature first, drugs last. Can you briefly describe that and then we'll jump into our topic?
Yeah, happy to, Paul. Yeah, I'm not an anti-pharmaceutical or anti-drugs or anything like that. They certainly have their place. But they're just overused. We have 4% of the population consuming at least 50% of the world's pharmaceuticals with some of the worst health outcomes of any developed country. So drugs aren't bad. They're just overused. And if you're good at the natural stuff, so to speak, there's a natural solution for anything a person might consider taking a pharmaceutical for at least 95% of the time. So that's my interest.
You know, I was allopathically trained Dartmouth Medical School and didn't realize the extent to which my education was really focused on pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
And, you know, we got the basic sciences. Those were okay. Yes. First couple years of biochemistry and physiology and what have you. And all of a sudden, it's like a switch turned and it was all about labeling and treating.
Exactly.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I've heard that.
Not leading to good health outcomes. So with that in mind, let's first talk about, I'm interested in your perspective about, you know, we just went through COVID and what a disaster that's been. You might reflect briefly on that. And then what are your thoughts? What are you seeing coming or possibly coming with regards to another pandemic?
Yeah, it's a great question, Paul. And clearly, we've seen the depth of the evil that's possible in these global elites in engineering a crisis designed to increase fear and therefore uptake for a catastrophic experimental injection. So this sort of fear-based or fear inducement to drive people towards a desired pharmaceutical solution is not new. It's just never been done on this scale before. And that's really what we saw with the COVID, plandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to hear, whatever you want to call it. And now, you know, they've been very clear. And the short of that is all of the measures, the lockdowns, masking, all of this, and the experimental injections, which was your savior from having to wear a mask and socially distance. All of these were far worse, by orders of magnitude worse than the original laboratory created bioweapon. So, you know, it's sobering to say the least, and also how much people were willing to give up their basic human rights in the name of the so-called public good. So, you know, Bill Gates wrote a book about it. Fauci announced it a number of times that there's going to be another epidemic. So it's just a matter of what and when. And, you know, it's, you know, possibly this is the thing they're rolling out now. I don't know. It seems a little small scale for that. They tried the monkeypox. That fell flat, although, you know, certainly people rolled up their sleeve for that vaccine on demand as well. So, you know, this is just more scare things, scare tactics to keep people in fear, keeping them mentally, psychologically imbalanced, emotionally fraught all the time in what we call sympathetic dominance in a constant fight, flight, or freeze situation where rational thought turns off. It's also an election year, like last time. Maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure. From what I can tell, this latest bird flu, there have been previous ones, is, you know, as Lee Merritt would call the COVID sickness, a nothing burger. It appears to be, you know, just a lot of scare with not much danger.
Yeah, I was reading that there have been a total of now, I think, two cases. Originally, the first case of bird flu that's causing all the alarm was a case of pink eye. And I,
which you've seen a million times in your practice.
Well, yeah, it's the. The thing that I see them doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, or if you see it differently, or maybe you can elaborate, the people who are rolling out a vaccine as the solution.
Yes.
They plan for these vaccines long before the disease that they've created or helped create, at least. This gain of function research seems to be the wild west of very dangerous. What is it?
For sure.
That's the Defense Department that's involved in this.
Listen.
And so we can kind of predict what's going to come by looking at what they're working on, right?
For sure. Yeah. And that's true. I mean, COVID was a military operation. You know, it was the military industrial complex that was in charge of pandemic response, not HHS or Health and Human Services. So it was a military operation, you know, the entire thing in every regard and how it was run. So, with the gain of function research, making things more transmissible and more dangerous to humans always goes in parallel with vaccine development. Now, you could look at that in a couple of ways. There's a benign interpretation of that, is that if you're going to make a bioweapon, you need to protect your own soldiers. And there's a more nefarious interpretation of that, which is they're manufacturing a problem that they will deliver the solution for, that people will be craving and clamoring for because they're so afraid of this new crisis. So, you know, however you want to interpret it, they tend to go in parallel, you know, the bioweapon development and the vaccine development.
Yep, absolutely. So we're going to jump into natural pandemic preparedness because I think this is your area of expertise.
It is.
But right before we do that, I do want to point out, and you can go read this article for yourself, A Dangerous Vaccine for a Nothing Disease, on the Defender. The three vaccines the government has already purchased, folks. I mean, they've already spent our tax dollars to buy three vaccines. Sanofi's was based on a flu N1H5, I think it was, from 2004, the vaccine made in 2007. GSK's has squalene, and it's for an organism from 2013. Mm-hmm. And then this CSL's Seqirus vaccine, I might be mispronouncing that, has a horrendous track record. I mean, one in 200 died in the trials.
Yes.
That's what they're probably going to offer us. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding, Paul. And, you know, this, it's everybody's got their hand in the honeypot, so to speak, on this one. Not a surprise. Yeah.
Well, for me and my loved ones and all of you who care about your family and your children and your friends, let's look for a different solution. Let's just say maybe they do roll out a bird flu pandemic and yeah. people are getting colds and pink eyes and, you know, always with any flu or pandemic, some of our most vulnerable who are going to die anyway, or we're at very high risk of death due to multiple chronic conditions will indeed die. But that doesn't mean that this is a deadly or dangerous disease.
Right.
Tell us, take the platform here and tell us what you would do. I mean, you have an extensive history in natural approaches. Let's get our audience prepared for whatever they throw at us. What would you suggest?
Yeah, first thing is mindset, Paul. And again, these are all psychological operations that we've been subjected to for the past 4 years. And the first thing, not the only thing, is just not to be afraid. It's always true. And it's historically, we've always protected those who were the most vulnerable. That was the COVID approach in Sweden, which was extremely successful because they kept their society open. And so certainly be sensible about that. And taking precautions with the frail and elderly and folks who are very ill to begin with, because it's always the weakest that become the sickest. That's been true of everything throughout history. But for the most of the population, you know, it's unlikely this is going to be, and doesn't seem to be at the moment, anything to be concerned about. So other than those who are very vulnerable. So the first thing is not to be afraid. The second thing is to do the opposite of everything they told us to do in the pandemic. Which is to stay indoors, don't exercise, stay away from your loved ones, wear a mask, stay away from people. You know, these are the things that extraordinarily deplete and weaken our immune systems. So paying attention to a healthful diet with, you know, minimally processed foods and low sugar, high nutrient density, a full fat diet, plenty of fruits and vegetables, healthy fats, I mean. And getting regular exercise. You know, the research generally points to 3 to 4 hours a week, preferably if something you enjoy, preferably outdoors, and maintain your physical activity as well as your diet. The third thing is to stay close to your loved ones. It's very important that we not allow any authority to separate us from those we care about and those we care about us. Those relationships are absolutely critical, and we must never again allow the government to cause us to watch loved ones die in the hospital alone because we were separated from them. That's absolute evil and not based on any, you know, science or evidence of actual reasonable caution. So, you know, just to eyes open and keep, you know, keep the lifestyle intact. Don't be afraid, plenty of rest. In terms of supplementation and herbal medicine, that's, you know, another area of expertise I have, is there are, what we saw in the pandemic was that there were basic nutrients and herbs. And, you know, you can speak, you know, perhaps, you know, more authoritatively to the pharmaceutical side, Paul. But on the natural side, I was appalled at the systematic lockstep Maoist suppression of effective treatments. And this was really pretty pernicious stuff because they had to get their emergency use authorization, which you can't get if there are effective treatments available. So that's why, you know, the talking heads at CNN called ivermectin a horse dewormer. All this nonsense. That's not the accurate history of that drug. But anyway, the things that we saw in the pandemic that were extremely effective and suppressed, there are a few things that I believe, since this is going to be viral, whatever they release occurs. You know, I'm not going to say categorically, you know, exactly what's going to be what, but based on past experience, they're going to release something somewhere if they haven't already. So things that are extremely helpful and simple and safe and cheap and inexpensive and effective are things like vitamin D. Very important, simple thing. It's in its active form, it's a neurohormone with, you know, over 300 functions in modulating gene expression, immune function, calcium metabolism, and a lot of other things. So getting your 25 hydroxy D checked, aiming for a minimum of 50 or 60. Also checking your active D, that's calcitriol, that's 125D with a target of about 40, is also a good idea.
If I was stuck with having to pick one supplement that I would take with me, it would be vitamin D3. And I usually would suggest maybe taking it with K2. Just there seems to be an added benefit there to reduce any possible mischief of increased calcium absorption that happens with the vitamin D3 supplementation.
Yeah, it's a good point, Paul. Yeah. D works with parathormone to raise blood calcium levels. And we need the K2, or some folks refer to it vitamin F, is what it used to be called in the 40s.
Ones die in the hospital alone
out of the blood
because we were separated.
So whatever it is, you'll get
that's absolute evil and not based on any science or evidence of actual reasonable caution.
So just to eyes open and keep the lifestyle intact. Don't be afraid.
Agree then that
in terms of supplementation and herbal medicine, that's another area of expertise I have. What we saw in the pandemic was that there were basic nutrients and herbs,
and so we're not outside.
And you can speak, perhaps more authoritatively, pharmaceutical side.
One of my favorite stores, REI,
but on the natural side, I was appalled at the systematic lockstep Maoist suppression.
Outside as much as we used to historically.
Of effective treatment.
If we did that,
pretty pernicious stuff, and they had to get their emergency youth authorization, which you can't get if there are effective treatments available. So that's why talking heads at CNN called ivermectin a horse dewormer, all this nonsense. That's not that. It's not the accurate history of that drug. But anyway, the things that we saw in the pandemic that were extremely effective and suppressed, there are a few things that I believe,
second thing,
this is going to be viral whenever they release or is
one of my favorite minerals.
I'm not going to say categorically, exactly what's going
to
be what. Based on past experience, they're going to release something.
Some a 1-hour video on
if they haven't
research on zinc and
so,
cancer.
So things that are really helpful,
also
and simple and safe and cheap and expensive
as well
and effective
as being cytoprotective,
are things like vitamin D.
The SARS-CoV-2
very
bioweapon
important, simple
uses
thing.
Zinc to copy
it's
itself,
in its active form. It's
cell,
a neurohormone
so
with
high
over
viral
300
load.
Function,
and
modulating gene expression, immune
zinc
function,
reserves, and they lost
calcium metabolism, and a lot of other things. So,
zinc
getting your 25 hydroxy D checked,
in general,
aiming
is
for a minimum of 50
for,
or 60.
Immune
also checking your active D, that's calcitriol, that's 125D with a target of about 40, is also a good idea.
Weapons
if I was stuck with having
viruses,
to pick one
the main
supplement
the
that I would
system,
take with me,
as you know, Paul,
it would be vitamin D3, and I usually
and
would
that doesn't happen
suggest maybe taking it with K2. Just there seems to be an added benefit
so
there
sure
to reduce
calcium
any possible mischief of
on.
Increased calcium absorption that happens
test.
With the vitamin D3 supplementation.
Just, having whether it's calcium
lactate, good point, Paul. D works with parathormone to raise blood calcium levels, and we need the K2, or some folks refer to it vitamin F. What it used to
adequate,
be called in the 40s,
calcium,
ones die in the
calcium.
Hospital alone
and then,
because we were separated
and then there are other
from
things,
them.
Things
that's
like
absolute
C-complex,
evil
which is
not and
not
based on any science or evidence
it's
of
like
actual
FDA
reasonable caution.
That in the 1940s, but it's
so,
actually a complex.
Just to eyes open and
food
keep, keep the lifestyle
C,
intact.
Like
don't be afraid, plenty of rest. In terms of supplementation and herbal medicine, that's another area of expertise I have.
Is all part of the C-complex.
There are,
so that's a very
what we saw in the pandemic
the immune system,
was that there were basic nutrients
a,
and
originally
herb.
Known as the anti-infective
and, you can speak perhaps more
ago.
Authoritatively to the pharmaceutical
now
side.
Understand it is
but on the natural side, I was appalled at the systematic
interface with the outside world, skin, lungs, gut,
Maoist
the relationship of A
of
to increasing
treatment.
Our immune response.
And this was really pretty pernicious stuff because, and they had to get their emergency youth
A
authorization, which you can't
infection.
Get
so
if there are effective
the
treatments
factor.
Available. So that's why, the talking
oil,
heads at CNN called ivermectin a horse dewormer. all this nonsense. It's not that. It's not the accurate history of that drug.
Again, not like
but anyway, the things that we saw in the pandemic that were extremely effective.
And then on the herbal side, one of my favorite
things that I believe, since this is going to be viral, whatever they release,
one of the most important.
Categorically, you know exactly what's going to be what, but based on past experience, they're going to release something.
Been,
if they haven't already.
I think
things that are really helpful and simple and safe and cheap and inexpensive and effective
and this year
are
alone,
things like vitamin D.
I expect to see
very important, simple thing.
Published on
it's
this
a, in its active
Interest
form. It's a neurohormone with over 300 functions.
The world's best treatment of malaria.
Gene expression, immune function,
parasite. It also won
calcium metabolism, and a lot of other things. So
for an herb,
getting your 25 hydroxy
and it's extremely effective against
aiming for a minimum of 50 or 60. Also checking your active D is calcitriol.
Chinese worm
is 125D with a target of about 40.
It's
also a good idea.
Herbs, again,
if I was stuck with having to pick one supplement that I would take with me, it would be vitamin D3, and I usually would suggest maybe taking it with K2. There seems to be an added benefit there to reduce any possible mischief of increased calcium absorption that happens with the vitamin D3 supplementation.
And it's a Chinese
good point, Paul. D works with parathormone to raise blood calcium levels, and we need the K2,
or
some folks refer to it vitamin F.
Infections.
Is what it
Another
used to be
one,
called in the 40s.
Which is a Middle Eastern
ones die in the hospital alone because we were
very
separated from it. That's absolute evil and not based on any science or evidence
of
actual reasonable caution.
All these herbs do other things, and they're safe.
You know, just to eyes open and keep the lifestyle intact. Don't be afraid. Plenty of rest. In terms of supplementation and herbal medicine, that's another area of expertise I have.
Again, so 4 days on, 10 days off.
There are what we saw in the pandemic was that there were basic nutrients and herbs. And you can speak perhaps more authoritatively of pharmaceutical side, but on the natural side, I was appalled at the systematic.
I just did one a day preventive.
Maoist suppression.
If you're sick, you can go up to 4 days.
Effective treatment.
And it's better to use.
And this was really pretty pernicious stuff.
Oil.
Because, and they
the
had to get their emergency youth authorization, which you can't get
so the
if there are effective treatments available.
Good
so that's why, the talking head at CNN called ivermectin
a
horse dewormer. All this nonsense. That's not the accurate history of that drug. But anyway, the things that we saw in the pandemic that were extremely effective and suppressed. There are a few things that I believe, since this is going to be viral, whatever they release occurs,
so
I'm not going to say categorically, exactly what's going to be what, but based on past experience, they're going to release something,
focusing on kids.
If they haven't already.
And one of the hardest things to get
things that are
right,
really helpful and simple and safe and cheap and inexpensive and effective are things like vitamin D.
Secondly, are there products
very important,
that are
simple thing.
Palatable,
it's a in its active form. It's a neurohormone with over 300 functions.
Yes, for sure.
Modulating gene expression, immune function, calcium metabolism,
years,
a lot of other things. Getting your 25 hydroxy aiming for a minimum of 50 or 60. Also checking your active D. That's calcitriol. That's 125D with a target of about 40.
Good old
is also
mortar and pestle.
If I was stuck with having to pick one supplement that I would take with me, it would be vitamin D3, and I usually would suggest maybe taking it with K2. Just there seems to be an added benefit there to reduce any possible mischief of increased calcium absorption that happens with the vitamin D3 supplementation.
It's a good point.
And
D works with parathormone to raise blood calcium levels, and we need the K2, or some folks refer to it as vitamin F. Is what it used to be called in the 40s.
I'm going to
ones die in the hospital alone
of the adult
because
dose.
We were separated from
kid dosing.
That's absolute evil and not based on any science or evidence of actual reasonable caution. So, just to eyes open and keep keep the lifestyle intact. Don't be afraid. Plenty of rest. In terms of supplementation and herbal medicine, that's another area of expertise I have.
is
there are what we saw in the pandemic was that there were basic nutrients and herbs,
and you know, you can speak,
you know, perhaps, you know, more authoritatively of pharmaceutical side,
other than the herbs, which
but
I wasn't
on the natural side
with.
I was appalled. The systematic
lockstep in your home,
Maoist suppression.
Things go into some kind of a weird shutdown. Treatment. You're not scrambling last minute.
And this was
That's
really
a good point, Paul.
Pretty pernicious.
You have stuff
stop
in stock now,
and they had
preventative care
to get
now,
their emergency youth authorization, which you can't get if there are effective treatments available.
Like,
so that's why, you know, the talking head to CNN called
yeah,
ivermectin a horse steamworm.
That's right.
All
the formulas are available
at
mycobia.com/store. And folks can also
but anyway, the things that we saw in the pandemic that were extremely effective and suppressed,
and are course
few things that I believe, since this is going to be viral, whatever they release or is occurs, you know, I'm not going to say categorically, you know, exactly what's going to be what, but based on past experience, they're going
to
release something
about, you know,
if they haven't already.
Possible,
so,
dangerous, scary
things that are
pandemic
really helpful
coming up.
And yeah. Simple and safe.
What's
and cheap and inexpensive and effective
to our viewers?
Are things like
have
vitamin
courage.
D.
And be hopeful.
Very important,
very
simple
hopeful.
Thing.
I think
it's a in its active
a
form. It's a neurohormone with, you know, over 300 functions, modulating gene
way.
Expression
and
immune function,
are now understanding
calcium metabolism, and a lot of other things. So,
be connected
getting
to
your 25 hydroxy D checked, aiming for a minimum of 50 or 60. Also checking your active D, calcitriol,
that's
125 D with a target of about 40.
Is
also
up another
a good
episode
idea.
Of Pediatric
if I was stuck with having to
you
pick
can check
one
out my other show
supplement that I would take with me, it would be vitamin D3, and I usually would
even book a
suggest maybe taking it with
wish,
K2. Just there seems to be an added benefit
four.
There to reduce
both these links
any possible
the
mischief
notes.
Of increased calcium absorption
today,
that happens with
we'll
the vitamin D3 supplementation.
Yeah, it's a good point, Paul.